would you remain standing as we get ready for the Word of God? We've been in a series, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and also Matthew chapter 1. Luke chapter 2 and also Matthew chapter 1. If you want to go to that class, you can go now. Luke chapter 2 and also Matthew chapter 1. We've been in a series called Joy to the World. And boy, I tell you what, things like what are happening this morning bring a lot of joy to my heart, and especially those of you that gave your life to Jesus today. But talking about joy to the world, last week we talked about the joy is Jesus Christ. Everybody goes everywhere else for joy, but Jesus is the joy. Amen, everyone? But today I'm going to talk to you. People are living in fear. I want you to know you can have joy in the midst of fear, and I'm going to cover the story. And you can look at what happened when Jesus first was announced in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The shepherds were out there, and it says, the angel of the Lord said to those shepherds, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what kind of joy, everybody? Great joy, which will be for the Southern Baptists only. Come on, how many know it's for everybody in this room, everybody in the world that wants Jesus, amen? Isn't it amazing that when Jesus arrives with a gift, fear is the first thing that tries to hit your heart? Let's go to a guy by the name of Joseph and his experience when God spoke to the one that would be the husband of a woman by the name of Mary. And an angel comes to him, Matthew 1:18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be what, everybody? Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. How many thank God for that? Amen. Look at your neighbor. We've been singing about it. Now we're going to teach about it. Look at your neighbor and say, when Jesus is near, there is no fear. Come on, tell him that. Amen. There is no fear. You can be seated. Amen. I will promise you that nothing has impacted the world. Nothing else, no event in the world has impacted the world of humanity like the first Christmas when Jesus Christ came. Now, I love Christmas. I mean, come on, Christmas, pretty fun time. I mean, come on, the lights, the gifts, the wonder, come on, all the excitement, the splendor, the trees decorated. How many love those festival of trees out there? Isn't that nice out there? Just put you in this mood, you know? I love all of it. I'm starting even to get into the Hallmark movies. I've got in touch with my feminine side. And some of you didn't know that healing still happened today, but they do. They happen today. So the first Christmas, you know, I'm going to tell you, though, we celebrate it in a way that they didn't celebrate it then. In fact, to be honest with you, I can tell you that the first Christmas was not quite as beautiful, wonder, and splendor as we do it today. It just wasn't. Especially to the immediate people involved in the story, there was not joy, there was not excitement, there was not tinsel and lights, and there wasn't celebration. In fact, the first thing you see happening when Jesus announces a gift is coming is fear. Fear for the shepherds. And in verse 19, the Bible says that Joseph was what, everybody? Afraid. Worry starts coming in, stress starts coming in, and here's God saying, I'm giving you a gift to the world for everybody to enjoy. Joy's going to hit you, but when he says it's supposed to be joy, everybody gets struck with fear. And here's the deal. Why is it that so many times when God gives us a gift, it stresses us before it blesses us? Why is it before God gives you the assignment for your life or something he wants you to accomplish, worry hits you before joy hits you? And that's what you find in this story because, you know, what happens is sometimes when you get a gift, you don't know what it is. You're not sure. You know, the anticipation, you know. You're hoping that those gifts around the Christmas tree is really what you wanted. But you may not get what you want. You may not be getting what you want. You're wondering, the discovery happens when you peel the, you know how it is. Come on, you got the gift, then you put tissue around it, then you put the box around it, then you put the wrapping paper, and then you put the tape, and then you put the bow on top, and then you reverse the deal. You take the bow off, you rip the tape off, you tear the paper off. All the Dutch people, you keep the paper, you keep the bow. You hope you can reuse the tape next year. And then the discovery occurs, right? And so what happens is it's when you're unwrapping something that the discovery happens and there's an anticipation. But for Joseph, there was an excitement. There was stress. There was worry that hit him. Now we look at it today. We don't see stress. We get joyful. I mean, come on. Some of you start playing Christmas music in April. I mean, you're excited, your anticipation, because you're on this side of the story. But not the guy that was inside of the story right there. There's stress, there's panic, there's anxiety, there's friction, there's frustration going on in the middle of that story. Now, in retrospect, you have joy, because joy is because of retrospect. You look back, you're not there now. You used to be there, but you're not there now. But now you're in the middle of the story. Well, Joe was in a lot of stress. And I can guarantee you that in this room right now, some of you are not on the other side of your story. In your physical sickness. Some of you are not on the other side of the story with that sibling that continues to irritate and intentionally antagonizes you and berates you. Some of you are still in the middle of the story where your marriage is in a conflict and you're fighting and you're arguing. You're in the middle of dialysis. You're getting ready to sign the papers for the bankruptcy. You're not on this side. You're not rejoicing. You're just like Joseph. I know God said something to me. I believe the scripture, but I'm stressed out. I'm worried. I'm panicked. That's exactly where he was. But there were things that made this man one of the most important people in the story of Jesus Christ, that he was able to endure the stress, the panic, the pain, the frustration. How many of you believe that we can learn some contemporary wisdom from a historical story here today? Amen. So I want you to write these things down for a moment, because some of you, I'm telling you, my goodness, all you have to do is go to the mall. Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't cuss, but I do write it down on a piece of paper when I go to the mall. I'm kidding. Because there's some things that some of you are going through that I'm telling you, you can have joy in the middle of this fear. And I want you to take it from the story of this man for a moment. The first thing I want you to see, first of all, is that he had to put up with what people were thinking about his relationship with this woman. And some of you are going through things where people have accused you. People may have suspicions of you. People look at you different now since you got saved. But you can have joy in the middle of that false perception. This guy can show you that there can be joy in the midst of this false perception. Because sometimes when God gives you a gift, it causes you to be controversial in the eyes of others. Now, the angels were excited. The shepherds were all excited. But what was happening to Mary and Joseph did not set well with the onlookers around them. In fact, the suspicion is among Jewish culture, among Jewish history, that some did not believe in the virgin birth. What they believed is that Mary was probably raped by a Roman soldier. So she has this child that is illegitimate. Some believe that she was nothing but a loose woman. Some perceive that Joseph was nothing but a fornicator that could not control his own sexual appetite because his loins were too on fire and he couldn't control himself. If you don't believe it, then you need to go to John 8:41 when he's sitting there, when Jesus is standing there before the Jewish leaders, and they're looking and they're arguing about who the descendants of Abraham, and they prided themselves of being the seed, the descendants of Abraham, and they looked at Jesus and said, "We are not born of fornication." What they're doing is they're slapping him, his mama, and his daddy, saying, "Your mama was a loose woman, your dad was a fornicator, and that's what you came from, Jesus." That's the slap they took in his face. So when Joseph is in the middle of this, the stress that hits him is that, what will people think in the business? What will people in the church think? What will people think about me? What will my parents think? What will they think when God has placed me and he tells me something great about me, or he's caused me to be something better for Jesus Christ? Because here's the deal. Being chosen and blessed by God will put you on Satan's hit list. How many want to be blessed by God? Well, then get ready for the attack, my friend. Because I'm telling you, there are people that will berate you. There are people that will lie to you. There are people that will put you on their hit list. It's just like Herod, when Herod came to the place where he wanted all the two-year-old males and younger to be killed, annihilated, exterminated. You get on Satan's hit list when a gift from God hits you. There is a cost, and it's the perception of other people. For some of you that just gave your life to Jesus Christ today, part of your witness of Jesus Christ is to declare to people that you've given your life to Jesus Christ. So you may go back into a house with a spouse that rejects Jesus Christ. What will you do with the persecution when they may laugh in your face? What will you do when you tell your boyfriend, I'm sorry, we're not doing that anymore in the dating relationship? What will you do, young man, when you say, I've chosen to be a man of God and save my virginity for when I get married? What will you do when she laughs in your face? What will you do when they serve the liquor at the Christmas party, but you refuse to, but you want to be accepted within the corporation? What will you do with that? What will you do with that? And here's what Joseph made a decision. He made a decision. There's a gift of God inside that woman. There's a blessing that's coming my way. I don't care if people mock me. I don't care if they ridicule me. I don't care if they make fun of me for believing God. I'm going to hold on to God because I am not addicted to their approval. I'm addicted to the acceptance that Jesus Christ has of me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stop being a... See, Satan knows this stuff. Satan knows that we are addicted to the praise of people, to be accepted by people. He knows that. He knows your vulnerability. He knows my vulnerability. I like something Lou Giglio said. He said, if we live by man's approval, then we will die by man's rejection. Isn't that the truth? And here is Joseph saying, I know the stories are going to come out, but I can have joy in this false perception because I know God has given me a gift. This is from God. Listen to this. Folks, and here's what we do. We live for acceptance. We want to be accepted by the boss. We want to be accepted by our pastor. We want to be accepted by people. Listen, folks, can I just tell you something? Don't live for acceptance. Live from acceptance that you have in Jesus Christ. There was a whole lot packed into what I just said right there. Stop living for acceptance. Start living from the acceptance that you have in Jesus Christ. This is why the rules of religion become so damaging to people and they live outside of relationship with Jesus Christ. If you live within the confines of rules of religions in order to be accepted, it means that I am only accepted by what I do. What I do gives me acceptance. What I do, my performance gives me acceptance. But faith in Jesus Christ, this is the power of the gospel, everybody. The power of the gospel is not that you, what you do, it is the acceptance on what has been done. And what has been done has not been done by you. What was done was by Jesus Christ when he went to the cross, when he died for you, shed his blood for you. You cannot perform enough performances to be accepted by him. And once you realize that you were created by him, you are loved by him, he has a purpose for you, and you surrender to what he did on the cross, you can now live from the acceptance of Jesus Christ in the face of rejection of everybody else. Why? Because you are accepted by God through the power of his blood and not your performance. Come on. How many of you thank God you don't have to worry what people say? That's why Jesus said this. Some of you are going to get mocked. Listen closely to me. When you start taking on the Jesus thing, when you start telling people, God called me to be this, God called me to be eternity, God called me, people will laugh at you in your face. When some of you guys start standing up for who you are as a man of God in the workplace, when some of you ladies start beginning to identify that the world does not make who you are, it is God who makes you are, I tell you, you'll be mocked and ridiculed by people. But let me give you the words of Jesus. How many would rather hear from him than anybody else? Here's what he said in Matthew 5:11. Everybody get happy on this one. He says, God blesses you. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Let haters hate, everybody. Let the haters hate. Let them mock. Let them ridicule. Let them scorn. Let them make fun of you. Let them call you a tongue talker. Let them call you a holy roller or a Jesus freak. Let them talk. Let them carry on. Oh, we know what you used to be. You used to smoke pot with me. You remember you used to be the guy get drunk. You remember you used to be the... No. Let them talk. Let them mock. Jesus Christ accepts you. You've been saved by him. He's redeeming you. He's making you into a new man, a brand new woman. He says, let them mock. Let them scorn. Let them ridicule. Why? He says, when it happens, don't curl up in the fetal position and go, everybody's picking. Oh, Jesus. He said, stop it. He said, God blesses the person who's persecuted and mocked, lied about, ridiculed because they're a follower of Jesus Christ. But he says, so be happy about it. Everybody say, be happy about it. Be happy about it. And he says, and be very glad. It literally says, starts rejoicing. Come on, get happy. Dance the carpet down to the burlap. Start praising God for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted the same way. I'm here to announce to you that you do not need the approval of man. You don't need the approval of the world. What you need is the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ when you accept him as Lord and Savior. And for some of you, you're going to get liberated today from being addicted to acceptance and approval of everybody else. What matters the most is that you are loved by God, you are known by God, you are created by God, and some of you are going to shake that off of you today. You're going to get liberated from this today because God is birthing something new in you. You're going to end 2017 knowing that 2018 is going to be a year of a new creation in Jesus Christ. Come on. Shake off that false perception, their wrong ideas, their lies. Shake it off. Because when you get a gift from God, you will become controversial and you will be on Satan's hit list. But how many of you know you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? Let it go. Just let it happen. Now, here's another thing. When God starts giving you a gift, it starts worrying you, starts stressing you out. This guy started going to stress because he's thinking, how am I going to do this? You can be joyful in God's faithful provision. Joy to the world. You can, in God's faithful provision, you say, Pastor, I just feel like God wants me to do something, but I don't have the money to do this. I don't have money. Look at what the angel said to him. When the angel looked at Joseph, he said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. How many know that is a loaded statement right there? Don't be afraid. Marry her. Now, ladies, can I just show you a little vulnerability of us men when we were asking you to get married? We don't want to tell you this, but we thought it. Am I going to be able to pay for this? It's just not what I'm looking at right now. I got to accessorize all this right here. And there are always add-ons after you buy. You just don't buy it. You got to get the add-ons with it, you know. It's just not the apartment. We got to buy a house. We got to buy curtains. I still don't get it, all these pillows. I mean, can't we just have one pillow for our heads? One? Seriously, in the bedroom, just one for you, one for me? I mean, why do we have this Mount Kilimanjaro sitting there on our bed? You got to pay for all that? Honey, I'm pregnant. We're going, I'm going to pay for this. Minivan? I got to get a minivan? Braces? Tuition? Soccer? Cost that much? See, when you start, this is a loaded statement, because when God gives you a blessing, it's going to cost something that's so much bigger than you. And here's what happens. When God starts doing something and says, I'm going to make you the man of God, you feel like, I'm just not the man of God, woman of God. He says, but here's what I want you to see that I'm saying about you. When God calls you to ministry, calls you to a business, calls you to a company, calls you to assignment, calls you to take a mission, calls you to do something great, calls you and tells you you're going to do something great for God, here's what happens. We get so consumed with worry that we don't enjoy what God's actually taking us through. Let me put it to you another way. If you worry more about the cost of the gift, you will never enjoy that gift. You'll never get to enjoy the ride. I'm watching people, and listen, heaven's your home. This temporal life is so short. Why are you always frustrated, angry, worried? God is your source. I'm serious. Why do we stress out so much? I mean, he says, take her as wife. Yeah, he's thinking, how much is going? You know, it's like when I got married, Brendan and I got married, we were 30 years of age, and I remember I was 30, and I still worried, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And one great preacher, he comes up and he said, Sam, just get married, man. This is the one. I said, but I'm not sure I can afford it. He said, Sam, two can live as cheap as one. I discovered you can. Just half as long, that's all, amen. Folks, God will take you on journeys. Some of you have never been able to give the way you want to give because you are so worried about the things of life. You never discover true prosperity. Never discover the joy of giving. Because you're so worried about the problems of your day that you never get to even enjoy the money you do have. Isn't that sad? That's sad. I remember one time, Brenda and I, back in 1997, revival, we were here in the midst of a great revival here at this very church. I was an evangelist at that time, and I remember we were having the Brownsville church people that were coming, that God was using, and people from all over the country are coming, and we had friends flying from all over the nation to come and be here, and we got to host the couples. And so Brenda and I were going to the airport, and Brenda goes, you know, there was this nice restaurant somebody had taken us to before. I don't know if y'all remember it. How many remember Mountain Jack's? Mountain Jack's, you remember that? And it was, Brenda and I went to the first time somebody took us. Oh, look, oh. Have you ever had that sticker shock when you go to a restaurant? Oh, you know. And so Brenda and I, we said, well, we want to take these folks to Mountain Jackson. We wanted to, but our money just that month was short. We didn't have the money to do it. We wanted to take them so bad. And, said, Lord, but we didn't have the money. So here they are coming off the plane. We got to entertain these people all week. And all of a sudden, while they're coming off the plane, we're thinking about Mountain Jackson. Brenda and I talked. I said, we just can't do it. We don't have the money to do it. And all of a sudden, another brother from the church just happened to be walking off the plane. And we didn't know him real well at that time. And he came off the plane, and he walked straight up to me. While our guests are coming, I come straight up to him. He says, hey, Pastor Sam. And he comes back and talks to me again. He said, hey, Brother Sam, just really love, appreciate your ministry. And shook my hand. And when he shook my hand, I'm telling you, I felt this big old wad of cash in my hand. I mean, there's a big old wad of cash. I'm looking at it. I almost, Jesus, come on, shake the other hand, you know, shake. I just go, wow, look at this. I went up to Brenda, and I said, Brenda, can you believe this? She said, Sam, this is what we've been asking God to do. So, you know, we're so busy, so we're so caught up with the ticket price, we don't step out in faith. She said, we're supposed to take these people to, let's go over there. So we went over there, and I didn't think, we didn't have any money. I thought, just let's ask them to have water. I'm really into water now, you know. So we let them buy whatever they wanted to buy, and I tell you, and all of a sudden, they didn't have to drink water. They drank Coke and tea. And so they sat there, and when we got the bill for all those people, and dessert, and the tip, was almost to the penny what the man put in my hand. You know, my thing is, here's what I'm trying to say to you, is some of you are not enjoying life. You are so caught up with the worry and the stress of how's God going to do this and how's God going to perform this. I'm going to tell you, you're not the one picking up the tab. Would you begin to realize in Him you live, you move, and you have your being? Would you realize that He was the one that created you and you did not create Him? Would you begin to realize that He is your unlimited supply and He is your source? Would you stop stressing out in life that you're not enjoying life and realize, listen, God's already got the ticket paid for. Open up the menu and begin to ask Him for what's on the menu. Come on, child of God. Believe and have joy in God's unlimited supply. But He will put you in a place where you do stress a little bit. And there's a reason why He makes you worry like that a little bit. Because He's tired of you taking credit every time you pay the bill. Every time you pay the bill, you get the credit. Now, here's the deal about Joseph, just for a moment. See, people somehow feel like he was poor. Oh, Mary and Joseph. Poor, had to ride a donkey. Well, that's all they had back then. Now, I don't know what kind of donkey it was, and you can't prove it either, but it could have been a Porsche donkey. It could have been a Benz donkey. It could have a VW donkey. It could have been a Kia donkey. But see, you make assumptions that they were broke, and that's why God had to bail them out. Listen, he wasn't broke. He couldn't have married her if he was broke. He had to have a dowry. You had to pay the father for the daughter, so you had to have money. See, some of you think that they didn't have money, so they had to stay in a humble little manger in a stable. Joseph had the money, everybody. Money was not his problem. A hotel room was his problem. He wasn't broke. How do you, all those other times he had to stay in places, how do you think he paid for it? He wasn't in barns every time on the journey. The problem wasn't his money. The problem was he didn't have a hotel room for his wife. See, sometimes God will put you in a position that sometimes your provisions will not take care of the need. And God will put you in a place where finally this time, last time the counselor bailed out the marriage, but this time you're going to have to trust God to get you out of this one. Sometimes the doctor and the therapy got you out, but this time it's going to take a divine miracle of God. Last time you got the business through the tough time, this time you're going to have to trust God to be your supply and your source. See, God will put you in a place where your money will not get it this time. Your ability with your talents will not pull it off this time. Your education, your degree will mean nothing this time. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to see that you are not the one that started this and you will not be the one that ends this. You are not the one that will be the beginning and you will not be the end. He will show you that he is your faithful supply. So he'll slam that door in your face. Slam it in your face. Yeah, well, they broke up with me. Do you think they broke up with you? Or do you think God slammed the door in your face? So stop grieving. I promise you 20 years from now, when you're not joyful now, just like we're not joyful back then at that Christmas, but at this Christmas, we're looking back at that Christmas of what happened. I guarantee you 25 years from now, you're going, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, woo-hoo, woo. I dodged a bullet. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. Baby, you're looking better and better all the time. I mean, you will thank Jesus for the jobs. I'm so thankful for the prayers he did not answer for me. But some of you are frustrated. You know why you're frustrated? Because you're leaning on your looks. You're leaning on your talent. You've leaned on your husband instead of God. You've leaned on your wife instead of God. You've leaned on the corporation instead of God. Some of you are so frustrated with the government because you've been leaning on the government instead of God. You're expecting someone to change this all for you. Sometimes God will bring you such a big problem that only God himself is the only one that will resolve this for you. Wow. That's why some of you are in fear. And then when you don't deal with your fear and trust God, it goes into anger. Because you feel like God's missing out on something. You've lost something. No, no, no. Here's what he'll do. He'll say, sorry, you might have the resources to do something else. But on this one, you're not going to get out of this one. I'm going to slam the door in your face. You're going to spend the night in the barn. And that's where some of you are. See, you are expected to check into the hotel. Reservations were there. Cookies were waiting at the counter for you. So delighted to have you here. No, the door's been shut. There's no sheets that smell like Clorox and Downy for you to lay in. There's no mint on the pillow. There's no little soaps that you can steal and take home with you. All of it. Now you The towels you can't take home. Oh, I tell you what, I love those fluffy towels. They're hard to get in your suitcase, and they're really nice. But but it didn't happen for you this time. So right now, you're in a marriage right now where all you hear is not the bleeding of sheep. You hear the bleeding of a spouse that you feel like you can never perform well enough. For some of us, you're smelling the stink of a job you hate. And you're in a barn, but that barn is a blessing. Because in that barn's gonna be birthed something so powerful that'll change your life and change the world. And don't despise it, don't get frustrated. Just know, wait a minute. God is the one that got me in this, and God is the one that'll take me through it, and God is the one that'll bring me out on the other side. Come on, that's the reason why Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Come on, you might be in a barn, but he put you in that barn because he's gonna show his faithful provision in the midst of it all. Come on, he's your God that will supply all your... Oh, I'm getting blessed today. Thank God for the doors he shut so he could show you your provisions are not adequate for this one. Trust me. And if you'll trust him, you'll stop your fear, your anxiety, and your panic, and you will have joy in the midst of what looks like lack. Oh, okay, you ready to come in for a landing? I got to finish. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Last one. You can have joy in God's final plan. What I'm trying to tell you is hell is not in charge of you. Okay, got a couple of those Pentecostal people saying amen. I said hell is not in charge of you. Amen? God's working his providence in your life. Let's break this scripture down right here. Matthew 20, verse 23. He said, as he considered, Joseph did, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and Joseph said, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Listen, what you're going through right now, if you will press into him, I promise you he is working something so much greater and bigger. Listen, we are enjoying Christmas right now in a different way than Joseph did. It was worry, it was fear, it was panic, but we're enjoying it because we're on this side of it. See, some of you, listen, when you get on the other side, you rejoice. See, joy is retrospect. Joy comes from retrospect. It's looking back. See, some of you are now rejoicing and celebrating over things you used to cry about 10 years ago. The stuff you used to weep about, the things used to keep you up at night, you're not there anymore. Now you're on this side saying, God, look what your provision, look how you brought me through, God. You're on this side of it. That's why you're rejoicing. But it's the person that's in the middle of the situation, in the middle of the stable, that has the power to worship and adore and know that Christ is in the center of it all right now, working his providence. So what's providence? Providence, this is where God integrates. Watch this. He integrates and blends events, and he works them together in the universe to fulfill his original design for what he created. See, he has an intention of what he wants to do with you. He wants you to align with what he wants to do in you. See, providence is God's hand in the glove of history. See, providence is God standing, he's the one sitting behind the steering wheel of time. And you think it's a train wreck about to happen, but he's making all the right turns, he's making all the left turns, he's turning on the blinker, he's putting on the brakes, he's speeding up, he's slowing down. He's the one that you're allowing to be in charge. Do you trust his final plan for your life is what he's saying. When you do, you can walk through all the perception of people, you can walk through all the times of lack knowing God is getting ready to work something in my life. I don't know when, I don't know how, I just know he's getting ready to do it. Right now, the crisis, there's no joy. But I promise, on the other side, you're gonna have joy, but start having some right now. How do I get that joy in the middle of it, Pastor? Here's the game changer, you ready? Here's the game changer for Joseph. He said, for the child within her was conceived by who, everybody? Here's what God wants you to know. If you're going through it, here's three things I want you to know. Number one, God is near. Everybody say, God is near. Here's what Joseph's concern was. Joseph's concern was, God, are you in this? I mean, come on, God. We've been engaged. She's pregnant. And she says, it's the Holy Spirit that did this. This man knew God was with him. Hebrews 3:13-5 says, For God has said, I will never fail you. He said, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no what, everybody? What can mere people do to me? He knew God was present. Folks, as long as I know God is with me and I keep him near, I put no space between him and me. I don't care if I have to sleep in a barn. I don't care who has a false perception of me. I don't care who rejects me. As long as I know I have him with me, I will fear no evil. He is Emmanuel. He is God with you. So let the storm go ahead and rage. Let the winds roar. Let them howl. Let the thunder clap, friends. Let the boat sink and go underwater. If Jesus is with you, he'll come walking on the water. You'll walk with him because he's Emmanuel, God with you. God is near you. Now, if God is near, here's what you have to do. You must hear. You got to hear. Something I want you to see that God wants to do. God, listen, people say, I don't hear the voice of God. Can I tell you he's trying to get it to you? See, I wish I could get the voice of God on this. He's trying to get it to you. I want you to notice something. Verse 20 says that an angel came to Joseph in a what? Dream. Did you happen to notice that after Jesus was born and Herod's trying to kill all the infant males, Did you in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, did you see that the angel of the Lord had to appear to him again in a dream to say, get out of here and go to Egypt? When he went to Egypt and it was time to come back, do you know what happened again? An angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, now get out of Egypt and go back to your people. Three times God had to speak to him in a dream. Here's what I think happened. I think God was trying to get his word so much to Joseph that God's saying, the only way I can talk to this boy is when he's asleep, because when he's awake, all he's doing is stressing and worrying and wonder who's chasing him, who's going to kill his kid, and who wants to destroy him. And so much stress is on him because of the things that are surrounding him that the only time that I can talk to this guy is when he finally conks out. So when he goes to sleep, boom, he's asleep. Give him a word from me, would you? Give him a dream and tell him what to do. And my point is this. Some of you feel so disconnected from God. You're going, God, don't you see what's happening in my marriage? We're fighting. Don't you see, God, that we're getting ready to file bankruptcy. They're going to take the house. God, don't you see that I'm getting ready to go on retirement and I gave to you and I have no retirement money for my retirement for my life? God, don't you see me? You feel so disconnected from God. But I'm telling you, this story shows that God loves people so much that he will do whatever it takes to get a word to you. It might come in your small group. It may come from your spouse. It may come from your pastor. But he's trying to get a word to you that I've got you covered. I got you covered. So listen. And once you hear from God, you need to know God is near. You must hear. And here's the last one. This is a biggie. Don't interfere. Don't get in God's way. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Sam? I want you to look at this again. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Here's what he's telling Joseph. Joseph, here's the deal. You didn't have anything to do with this. You didn't start it, and you won't end it. And what I want you to know, Joseph, is this didn't begin with you. In fact, it was before you, because before the foundations of the world, he was the lamb slain before it. This is before you. It is beyond you. In fact, you're not even going to sleep with her and consummate the marriage, so it's not even by you. This has happened totally by my hand, and here's what God's trying to say to us. I'm the one that started this. So if I'm the one that started it, you have no power to end it. I am the author and I am the finisher. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. And he that has begun a good work in you is going to complete until that day of salvation. Come on, are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you today? What God is trying to say is get your hands off of this and don't interfere. And when you read the scripture, do you know what it says? It says that he did, Matthew 1:24. It says, but he did not have sexual relationships with Mary until Jesus was born. He did not touch her sexually until after Jesus was born. That means that there was something that God, by the Spirit, put in her. And God says, what's inside is going to be birthed, and don't you tinker with it. It says when he woke up, he did what the angel said. I'm going to do all he tells me to do, and he's going to have to do what I cannot do. And he says, I'm working something under construction now. You can't see it, but in your frustration and in your stress, your worry, you're going to try to apply your fingers and put your fingerprints on the womb of God. Don't you dare touch it. You will mess it up. If you don't believe me, just ask Sarah and Abraham. Get a word from God. They hear from the Lord, but they interfere with the Lord. Your guilt and condemnation and berating your unsaved husband will not get him to Jesus, ma'am, I promise. But if you'll step back and let God do his work on him, he's working in the womb of the Spirit to bring forth a man who will be born again by the Spirit of God. He'll work things in your life if you'll just start taking your hands and quit trying to fix everything. The author and the completer of faith is going to bring a miracle that no man can take glory for it except him. How many thank God you can have joy in this world of fear because God's near. He's giving you a word. He's going to do a miracle.